Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Ballers! Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hi, it's me, Devin Ellington at DALE007, your host. Yes, hey, today in sports betting, that's what you're listening to. This is a Thursday recording Wednesday night in all transparency, but we are doing the Thursday show. Really special one, a big one I'm into. You know, we've been doing the tally site Thursday things. And we're going to have a really fun feller on today. Do not forget, though, we are a hoop-ball.com presentation. You got to go to that URL. Check it out. Make sure to look at the free content. That's what I recommend you go in there for in the first place. Health, news, all that transactional stuff on the right-hand side. Vital for what's going on in playoff basketball in the fantasy land. Not to mention all the teams' coverage. We got individual coverage for just about every team throughout the league. Celtics, Nets, Raptors, Mavericks, Heat, Clippers, Lakers, so forth. And then while you're there, go check out the wager pass. Make sure to look into that because it's easy, it's simple. It is 33 cents a day. So even if you drink one of those crazy expensive lattes, you can get it for less than that per day to win some money, ride with some awesome plays and some fellow professionals. It's phenomenal. And the Discord, that's the best part about all of it. The Discord, you hear us talk about it all the time on the show. We all rave about it because y'all are the ones that make it so awesome. So get in on that. Come join us. Join the family, all that. Like I said, today is going to be a fun show. Going to go ahead and segue into bringing Mike in. Mike is he's kind of got an important relationship, if you will, with HoopBall. And Mike is someone who is affiliated, and I'll let him spill most of the beans. I'll like at least open the can. But Mike is affiliated and whatnot with HoopBall through TallySite. And so TallySite's had some super amazing things going on recently within their growth. And we've gotten to be kind of a part of it as HoopBall and an organization. So, Mike, I'm going to call you Mike V because you're from the East Coast, like a Beastie Boys thing. We just celebrated the 9th anniversary of the loss of MCA yesterday. So, you know, Mike V, what's up, man? Glad to have you in.
Hey, Devin, it's nice to join you. I've been waiting to join a Tally Site Thursday for so long, and I'm just happy we were able to make this happen tonight.
Time zone jumping. We got to, you know, we're making it work. And like you said, been a long time coming. We've been growing. Y'all have been growing. We were talking off air about the newest additions and such for us analysts on the site. And the interface is phenomenal. I love all the new info, all the data. You know what I'm talking about. I love the tracking. And it's a great place for high volume bettors. And I definitely love it. And what you guys got going on there as an affiliate, we definitely love having you guys around as a presence.
I appreciate that. I'm going to let all those compliments go to my head and just let them sit there. Maybe I'll translate that back to the rest of the team. Maybe not, but I appreciate it. And we love working with you guys, just some of the good work you're doing, putting out good content, helping me with my fantasy team, obviously. So I appreciate you guys as well.
You know, I hope you got a big room. So, I mean, and you can just patch me on through to them. And I, hey, we'll nip it in the bud real quick.
Anytime I get a positive email feedback, just instantly forward it to the leadership team so everybody can see it.
I'm going to personally mail a sheet of those gold stickers to you and your boss. And, you know, whenever you get one of those, you're going to get a gold sticker per me.
I'll wear it with pride.
Yeah. Like get you like a little badge collector thing or something. Anyways, Mike, we've chit chatted quite a bit in regards to sports, kind of what we want to accomplish. And we were talking a little bit off air. I say off air. Is that the term for podcast stuff?
I don't know. Cause it's not offline either. Right. You're still online.
True. Like we're in the way, the web waves. So
pre-show, like pre-recording, I guess. We were in the green room.
I don't know. In the green room. That's a good one. All right. So we were in the green room, Mike and I, and we were discussing just some whereabouts with Mike and where he got started, you know, and you were talking about doing some radio stuff in your college days. And we're just kind of talking about the current industry and with sports being involved in a major swirling component within what's going on with not only sports betting, but I would say like journalism and overall presence within culture right now. I think this industry is in a unique spot. Where would you say it's completely different from when you were in college to now?
Well, I mean, like, I think you see it, everybody can see it, like the convergence between sports betting and media and just how intertwined the two are now. Like when I, like you were saying, I worked at a WFUV Fordham during college and like, we would have never considered
Fordham.
Talking.
I always forget that about.
Yeah. You. Talking about like a line on air or talking about the spread in a game. Like, yeah, you'd mention like your MVP predictions and everybody would do that. But now when you turn your TV and you're seeing like in-game betting at halftime of like MSG when you're watching the Knicks game, it's just like, even, I don't even know, like a year ago, if you would have seen that. So then if you take that back, like, I don't want to age myself. It's fun that I could actually start saying that. I don't want to age myself, but you know, back when I was in college, like, that definitely just wasn't a thing. Like it was still something like a lot of people were afraid to touch. And now you just see it every day. It's just right in your face.
Such a scarlet letter, like just, a huge blatant one. And I love it in a sense because it's tied a bit to the mafia. You know, it's tied to Mr. I can never get his name right. Dunahy, the ref, you know, there's been some reasons, but that's what's fun about personally and selfishly speaking on my end, trying to be an ambassador or liaison, if you will, for this industry and for individuals looking to gain insight on it. You know, it's a odd, strange place, sports betting, that is. You know, no one really knows what's okay, what isn't. You know, people don't realize that less than 20 states have legal sports betting. And, you know, it does take some comprehension giving and some understanding to realize that it's normal now. Like, yeah. It's normal.
Yeah. And I think that's like at all levels, right? Because even when you go to like the institution, like you mentioned, like the states, like the institutional, like, I don't know, the institutionalization of like sports betting, like it's complicated and hard when you think about like licenses, who can do what, who can't do what. So like, I feel like it's inevitable that then like that confusion kind of trickles down to like an end consumer, just like your average fan or your like average individual who might be interested in sports gambling. Because like, if it's so confusing at the top, it's like, you could imagine the confusion it could be for an individual when you have like all different varieties, all different sports books, and some states you can and some you can't. It's a little bit of a mess on that front.
And then you throw mobile betting, which is a whole nother set of legislative measures, into it. And yeah, but you know what? It's very, very close to, I just totally being washed of that, I guess, stain, tarnish, or whatever you will.
Yeah. And then it's like, it's interesting. Like I was talking to somebody like on my team today about this, and I was like, I would imagine in 10 years, the latest, like, is it legal in every state and mobile is legal in every state? Like, I'd imagine like that's something where it's like, I could, like, I can't see a world where that doesn't happen. Right. And if you think about like we're probably in the first inning of a 9-inning game when it comes to sports betting here, right?
You know, for personally, I agree with you. And then secondly, the time frame, I could see 5 years it being mobile, that is. I think that's the easiest jumping platform. It's hard to get in the roots, in the ground, in the, you know, infrastructure, institutions, brick and mortar kind of places. But if you worry about the mobile legislation and you get the outlines set for what you are looking to allow your state to bet on, then you allow a more fluid and, you know, just concisive forward point, you know, for what you want to accomplish with sports betting within your state. And with that being said, you know, it's just like, you got to look at it and realize that it's just another way to break down sports. Like, it's just another, it's another way for people to fanaticize over something that they like. So I think within the next 5 years, we could see, I would say, at least 85% of the states being good to go on mobile betting. Cause things, I don't know if it's cause I've gotten older, you know, you're talking about aging and dating yourself, but man, I don't know what's going on, but time is just slipping on. And I, you know, I think that's because things are just starting to move faster. I don't know, maybe it's me, but I think we're moving faster as a people, as a nucleus now. And I could definitely see it being the way to go within the next 5 to 7 years, 10 years, probably with everything pretty much taken care of over the whole as a country in sports betting.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of shocking even like where we're at now. Cause like, do you remember like your first bet you ever placed like in person, like at a sports book?
You want to know something?
Yeah.
I've never placed one at a sports book.
Interesting.
I'm, you know, landlocked, man. I'm out here in the Midwest. It's Mad Max territory out here. I got to go up to Dubuque, Iowa to get some action at a window.
That makes it so that this is where you're talking about like the mobile betting. You're like, okay, yeah, makes a lot of sense in that case. Cause like, it just like, I'm thinking about like now with like, I'm in New Jersey, right? So like, I think like mostly FanDuel right now. It's just like, you could go on like, hey, there's a game tonight I want to watch. Like, let me see like what some of the props are, what some of the bets are. But then like, that's such a different experience. It just has me thinking about like, I remember when I went to Las Vegas once for the first time and like going into the sports book place. And I think I bet a future and it was just like a thrill. And now I'm like, oh, it's weird. I kind of have that same thrill in my, like on my phone every day that I could do. And like, I don't know, my head just started, you took me there with the way you were kind of talking about it.
Yeah. I can't wait for that day. I don't know where it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, if I'm going to win, what bet it's going to be. But yeah, it will definitely be an experience that I remember. I hope that it's you know, here in, I think it'd be cool if it was here in Oklahoma, because then that means the legislation has gone the way that, you know, I would hope it to. But it being my home state, I think that would be also really cool. But hey, if I go catch a Cubs game, you know, they added the betting there. I would love to go to a betting window at a Cubs game. That'd be a double dual, you know, like a dichotomy in a enjoyment sense, you know, that would be bonkers. But yeah, I mean, that's what's awesome is the sports betting industry. And just like I said, sports in general, especially, I think we're hitting a different era of sports. We're hitting the post-COVID era in human history, you know, and so sports, I think, is going to start changing in weird different little ways, so sports betting being one of them.
Yeah, I can't wait for the post-COVID, like stadiums packed again. Like, I'm a big soccer guy, so like I feel like it even more with like in Europe, we're just so used to like fans like singing all game. It's just like, it, like sometimes you watch a game, you look in the crowd, like, you get sad. Like, you're just like, oh man,
constant
like,
reverberation of people, of each other. Like,
yeah, it's just like, and it's almost like you kind of get used to it. But then, like when you step back again and stare at it, you're like, oh my god, like I can't wait for it to like be stadiums filled with cheering fans again. I can't wait.
As I've been watching some baseball games recently, and the limitations be lifted on fan count and whatnot, you know, it's awesome to see fans, you know, getting rowdy and clapping and hooting for a, you know, two strike pitch or a key, you know, a payoff pitch.
Yeah.
just like yeah. 4 or 5 pitches in a row that keep getting fouled off. It's like just that dedication that you see as an element to baseball, you know?
Yeah. And it's nice with baseball being outdoors, more people, like, mm-hmm. so.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, man, there are so many things I kind of want to dig into. I don't know which one to go to first, but like I said, this is a treat for the show, and it's an awesome experience that we've had with TallySight. And I've definitely been enjoying having that access to tracking my picks, but also having the results pan up against some people that I, you know, have a good familiarization of, people that I've read work of theirs, or just completely new folks, because I found some really great content just from being a part of the analyst team over on the TallySight platform. And I was going to run through, you know, it is TallySight Thursday, so, but the focus is on you, Mike, because you're the guest. But I got to run through some TallySight selections. I'll probably do it once we get more into the baseball stuff, but I love the algorithm that you guys got going on. I don't know if it's an algorithm, but, like, you know, just the way it takes to craft the picks on there and be competitive, but also I've noticed whenever I'm making my picks, I got to be a little risque, you know, that I've got to go against some popular opinions sometimes. And it's kind of like getting exposure in DFS. And I think it's very, very fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's like, I've had so many back and forth. I feel like, so being on the partnership side, I'm a lot of like the point person with like a lot of the analysts, the creators, the teams we work with. So I feel like the back and forths I've had over like how we calculate the IQ or how we calculate certain rankings. And it just, analysts get a little heated when they see their ranking fall, or if they see it rise, and, you know, they'll really want to promote themselves when they're at the top of the leaderboard. But then, hey, if they have a bad week, they're asking me all these questions about how we come up with these leaderboards. I love that aspect of it. But the community piece, I think, like, that's always been a part of what we've tried to do here. If you think over this journey on 2 years, like, we've been focused on really building the tools and the technology to make it easier for content creators, hoop analysts, whatever sport, just to be able to create, share, and track their predictions and their picks to kind of engage their audience and engage fans in a different way. And then, like you said, like, the community aspect of it too. So we have a lot of individual creators, we have analysts at major media sites, whatever it may be, all on this platform. And we feel like it's kind of like your picks and predictions are like an equal playing field, whether you're pushing out a Substack article once a week on the Phoenix Suns from your basement, or if you're on air on ESPN, like, who you're picking the game, like, there's like, it doesn't really matter. So we feel it as like it's that equal playing field where it's like people can kind of shine and kind of really show their worth and their value in terms of like picking and predictions.
Yeah. And I like to find myself scrolling through the rankings, just seeing what people are thinking on games. It's just really interesting. Like you said, that algorithm, I know there's been plenty of times where I've been sitting pretty on Friday, Saturday. I don't know how many times I thought I had a number one locked in on a week. And then I, you know, just come 5 o'clock Sunday, speaking baseball specifically, like, just like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah. And baseball, there's so many games every week where it's like a couple wrong moves and suddenly you're falling down the leaderboards. But that, like, that's the nature of it. So we try to, you know, like, as much as you want to attach to a leaderboard, it's like, hey, in the long run, it's like, how's your performance? Looking that, like, through that long-term vision versus that short-term scope of like a weekly leaderboard. But we understand the fun in that as well, because it's fun to see yourself when you're climbing the ranks or sitting at the top, especially like during NFL season when it gets really wild and crazy on TallySight, I'd say.
Oh, man. I remember the playoffs. You know, there was like 6 guys that they were just flying around the top of the leaderboards, and there was so much good analysis going on. I was getting so much so many like good little playoff football nuggets and just all sorts of insight. And that's what I'm excited for the public to be able to get into eventually down the road, you know, what have you. I'm not trying to promise anything for tallies. I don't know what y'all guys are working on, but you know, I've seen the vast improvements and additions to what we've had access to as analysts, and the trajectory I think is a good one for you folks over there. So I just like to share it.
I appreciate that. And yeah, like we're trying, I think like phase, let's say like, hey, like as the tech is in place, I'm not saying like it's stable and staying the same where it's like, hey, we're always trying to get better, always trying to push ourselves. But with like the tech in place and the community in place, now it's like that next step is really helping us power you guys. So like, we don't want it to be about Tally Site. We want it to be about HoopBall. We want it to be about Devin. Like, how do you create more content? How do you share that content out easier in different ways? How do you engage your listeners in a different way through social media, you know? And that's like really what we want to do, to be like, empower you, to make it as easy and simple for you.
Yeah. Well, hey, I can definitely attest to that. You're doing a good job at it. So, like I said, it's just like a symbiotic relationship. That's what I was trying to find that word. I was going to say embryo, but that was just totally not the word, and I knew it.
So. Are we giving birth to HoopBall? I don't know what's going on there.
Hey, Mike, you're pregnant. So
this comes as news to me.
Yeah, I didn't know if you knew, but I'm breaking it to you. So anyways, one of the things on the show I usually do, it's kind of recent, it's a new edition, but I think it's a fun one. I've always had almost a parallel equal amount, matching amount of emphasis on like passion and interest in music as I have, you know, sports. And I know you, you know, you being from the East Coast, you're a hip hop head, and we can talk hip hop, but you know, so it's kind of like a small little segment where I'll talk about like an artist or an album or just kind of what I'm listening to currently. And you know, I'm listening to Hello Nasty by the Beastie Boys, like I said, because MCA, he was my favorite Beastie Boy. We lost him 9 years ago. And I know I talk about the Beastie Boys a lot with you, and I feel like it's probably an annoying thing as someone who's from Jersey and like that area. How do you, opinions on J. Cole announcing his newest album, or if you have one? I'm just totally assuming that you like hip hop because you're from Jersey.
J. Cole, I wish I could say like, hey, I was on J. Cole early and I loved his early stuff, but like I remember at first being like not really sure about this guy, and then like, you know, you hear some songs like Cole World, you're like, oh okay, and then Born Sinner comes out, you're like, oh okay, and then it's like Forest Hills Drive and you're like, okay, yeah, this is good, like what was I thinking, like this is good. So I've loved his, like even his recent stuff has been good, and then that album cover looks awesome. So if if the music holds up to the album cover, I'll be happy, I believe.
Yeah, he's always had pretty cool album covers. I can't remember the album. I think it's Cold World. Like, I just know, like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I know of him quite a bit. Like, I listen to him. Like, I can't tell you everything about him or his middle name, but like, I knew it was pretty big how he dropped his album release. So, and then, you know, complete opposite segue, and I've actually talked about this band recently. I mean, they're one of my favorites, but Modest Mouse actually just announced that they're going to drop an album in June. So it's like, I think like we said, it's like that renaissance, you know, the post COVID, you know, 1400s Paris, you know,
like, yeah. Modest Mouse, I know less about, but I do know that Float On will always be a jam. And like, that might be the only Modest Mouse song I actually know.
Hey, that is totally fine. And that is something that happens quite often. So, and it's great that it's that good of a song. And it came out like almost 20 years ago. It's actually kind of nuts.
That's crazy. And then Lupe Fiasco sampled that for The Show Goes On. I'm just like, oh yeah, perfect.
I love Lupe. I've always wanted to try to get to see him. I believe him and Currency were doing a show in the middle of Kansas one time, but I was in high school and my dad was like, nah. So Didn't get to do that, and I've forever been bummed since.
Who's the best show you've seen live?
Dude, honestly, all right, so I need to go to more hip. I need to go to hip hop shows. Like the only hip hop I've ever gone to is like local stuff. But like they're you'll have to look them up. But they're called Blackalack, and that so much energy in this small little venue. It was like really awesome. But like I've seen some like artists and bands that I like personally just viscerally like and love. I've seen a few bands like four times, but Primus, man. I got tossed in the air, and like there was these 2 6'5" hillbilly good old boys, and they were like, "You want to go up?" I was like, "I want to go up," and they ripped me up, man, and threw me, shit, dude. They dunked me, and I was just like getting bounced off on the. They threw me in the air like four times. It was fun. It was a blast. That's and I've awesome. Seen Primus three times, but that one that was really fun. They're not everyone's cup of tea. They're a '90s band, really weird three piece, but you know. I like everything. I can talk about disco. I can talk about Primus. I can talk about Mac Dre and Mac Miller. And like, you know, the list goes on.
I love that. I love that though, because I feel like that's like me. Like if I say I put on like Apple and it's talking about like my favorites for the week or like a playlist and it's just all random stuff where I'm like, if anybody looked at my phone, they'd be like, what music does this person listen to? Cause it's just all over the place. Like disco to opera to rap to pop to what 70s, like whatever.
Yeah. And then I also, I really like making playlists. That's one of my favorite things about Spotify. I just love throwing like a hodgepodge of songs together and see how they like spit out as a playlist. And it's really fun. I've been listening to, I can't remember the band name because it's Japanese, but like it's just like this Japanese jam rock, real soft, just like super cool stuff. I don't know what they're saying, but I dig the music. So I listen to it.
I love that. That's so interesting. I want to ask you a question now.
Yeah.
Do you think it matters if you don't understand the language somebody's singing in and performing in at all?
Okay, so I have a funny story for this one. All right. So when I was in El Paso, I had a real close friend. He was a sergeant of mine while my military time. And, you know, he was from Mexico. And I learned something about Hispanic music that kind of slapped me in the face, and I kind of felt naive too. So if you hear a Hispanic song and it's usually more upbeat and happy, he said more times than not, if you listen to the lyrics and you translate them, it's usually a very sad, depressing song. I wouldn't have thought that if he wouldn't have told me that. I thought like, hey, they're having a good time. It's a party. Context clues some of the, you know, I took a few years of Spanish and I grew up in some Spanish parts of where I was from. So it's like, I can get by. And I just never realized that. Like I said, it made me feel naive. And he was like, and then if you hear a real slow, just like mellow song, it's usually like the celebration, like good time song. I was like, I guess I'll have to keep that in mind.
Counterintuitive. Wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, exactly. And, but I think the important part is the sounds and the vibrations. And if you like it, then that's what matters. So if it just sounds good to you, then you should enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So those are the weird random tangents that we usually take on Today in Sports Betting. And I can either go here. I'll let you pick. It's like Jeopardy, and RIP to Mr. Trebek. But here, I've
been
got
tough watching credit. Jeopardy. I don't know. It's not the same without him.
I can't even watch old episodes. I'm not ready for it. I was watching, I can't remember what movie, but I was watching a movie recently. Oh, duh. White Men Can't Jump. And it was when she was studying for Jeopardy, like watching an episode. And I was like, oh, Trebek, you know?
Words that start with the letter Q.
Q, yeah. Or foods.
Oh, food. Okay.
Yeah. As of the 1990s, there was 7. I don't know how many there are now.
Yeah, you never know now.
Yeah. And according to White Men Can't Jump, which is probably a very credible source. So, all right. So I've got umpire stats, the Kansas City Royals or the Boston Red Sox?
I'm like curious on this umpire stats, because like is this regards like the recent like Angel Hernandez stuff? Like
no, not necessarily. I was just eyeballing a certain DJ or a certain DJ. Wow. Talking about music now. I'm just
okay.
All about...
I thought we were mixing like DJs and umpires.
I mean,
here.
This
I'm
guy's
like, wow,
name is DJ, and I was okay. Looking at my note. I told you, man, I've already recorded a show today. I'm sorry, I'm usually more put together. DJ Rayburn is an umpire in the MLB, and he's the ump in the Boston Red Sox Detroit Tigers game that's currently going on. That I've got a couple wagers on. I think I mentioned to you I was going to make a play, you know, on every Red Sox game. And so I was eyeballing this one because his stats for tonight going into this game as the main, like the crew chief, the head guy in the ball game, his record is 2-3 for the home team's money line. And then the under has a record of 3-2. So my prediction, what I was looking at in this game, the game script I had for the Red Sox was the fact that the Red Sox are at home. I thought they were going to win. So they were going to send him to 500 in that home money line department. And then I was also thinking that the game was going to go over. It's currently not looking so hot in that element.
What is the over under?
I got it at 9, I believe it was 9.5, yeah. Somewhere around there.
I need JD Martinez to go up to bat a couple more times. Hit some dingers.
Yeah. Just everybody just give your bat to JD. So I don't know. I was looking at it. I was like, this guy could get to 3-3 in both of those departments. The over under record and then the home money line record. So DJ Rayburn, probably an umpire. I'm probably going to look forward to keeping track, send tabs on moving forward.
And are these just so this is news to me. Are these readily available stats? Like, is this living in a database somewhere where somebody could go in and pull if they wanted to?
Yeah, absolutely. So there was I found a website earlier. I closed the tab, but I can't remember what it was called, but it was very useful. I mean, it showed the crew designation for all the major league games for the evening. And then, you know, how many, say, walks these guys average per game that they ump, home teams run totals, all that good jazz. And I know you can find it if you just like Google, I think it's like umpire stats, or I Googled DJ Rayburn specifically, and there's a couple databases. But the Action Network, you know, a tool that I use to track my stuff and whatnot as well, they also, you know, they show who the head umpire is for the game in their preview. And that is, you know, honestly a part of where I got that information, the record and all that stuff. So
that's interesting. I wonder the home like thing now with less fans in the stands, how like if you still get those hometown calls from an umpire behind the plate, for example. I don't know.
Oh, everyone can hear his yell a lot more now, so like a couple of them got to get their
man
their high.
I was an umpire as a kid, like growing up. I umpired like the little leagues like in our town when I was still like young. I was probably like it was like me and my buddies were probably all in like 7th, 8th grade, like umping like 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders, right?
Right.
And I had the most fun as an umpire. Like being able to call a strikeout is one of the most exhilarating things in the world. And if you've never been an umpire, you should go become an umpire.
I had an opportunity to do so, and I've known quite a few umpires. You know, I've spent some time in the baseball realm growing up, you know. So it sounds like just like you, Mike,
yeah.
But umpire life, like I had a real close friend of mine that, you know, if he wasn't working his job or he wasn't in high school or at school, you know, he was umping a game at the ball field, and that guy worked hard. I want one of those little brushes. I always wanted to do the home plate wipe off, you know, that was getting the opportunity to ring someone up too and get a real emphatic, just like strike, you know, it sounds fun.
Oh yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, like, I was like umping, right? A lot of my friends were umpires too, so like we would just start messing around with each other. We're like, okay, next strikeout, see like the most ridiculous strike three call you could make, and like you'd like look down the third baseline, and your buddy's like laughing at you. Like,
you.
I had to toss a lady from a game once when I was in high school too. No, that was a lot of fun.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, she was just like. This lady, this is like one of my, like, this is one of those stories where it's like in my head, and when I tell it to my buddies, it might be funnier and maybe doesn't resonate with like a larger audience. But like, I was umping this kid's game, and like, I was a little bit older, so I was probably in high school. And like, this lady would just like keep screaming at me whenever her son was up, and just like on bad calls. And like, her son like wasn't that good, and like, so that was the whole thing. And then like in between innings, like she would just say things to me like, "Oh man, like really bad out there" and stuff. I was like, okay, kind of unnecessary. And then she would make like weird comments like, "Oh, like why are you always like looking back here" or something. She's like, "You know, are you attracted to me or something? You got a crush on me?" And like, I was like, "Well, that's kind of weird too now." And then man, one game, like, so like it was like it was like an in-town league. So it was like the same teams more or less every couple of days. And her like she was on me like all game. And then like her son comes up. And like in my head, like I was talking about, but I'm like, if this pitch is anywhere near, and then she lost the game. And that was an experience of like, I wouldn't start the game again until she left the premises. So that was a lot of fun, for sure. I remember talking to like the chief umpire after that. He's like, you know, he's like, what do you have to do? I'm like, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, tossing a lady from a game had to be done.
I have never had the experience and I'm envious. And the fact of the matter is it's necessary from time to time. The closest I've gotten was when I was a bartender and I, you know, I tossed a couple folks out. That was kind of fun. I always did it in a baseball fashion too. Like, you're out of here.
So how did that work at the bar? Did you have like bouncers or whatever where you worked, or were you responsible also for making sure that person left?
You know, depended on where I worked. Like we had yes and no. I mean, there was always a way to be diplomatic about it. And I was kind of the bartender that was like, kind of made, I hate saying this because I don't like making people feel dumb and I'm a different person now, but I would just kind of make the person realize like, oh wow, I'm a bit of a jackass. And then, you know, we would get them out of there. So people, you know, surprisingly respect bartenders when they break code. And then it's like, if you screw up, the rest of the bar turns on you really quickly. So it's, you know, it'll get saloonish real quick. So you got to jump ship and get out of there. But so going back to the umpire and calling egregious strikeouts, I'm sure you've seen it because you probably have good cinema taste. But the Naked Gun, Leslie Nielsen, when he rings people up and he's doing like the moonwalk, just kind of stepping it out and being crazy, that was something that I remember watching on a VHS tape and having that enjoyment of Leslie Nielsen. May he rest in peace. Did you step the strikeout call out like he did in that movie?
I don't remember that movie exactly, but I definitely added some dramatics to my strike three call on her son. And I feel bad for the kid if the ball was actually outside, but his mom got him a strikeout that day. That was probably like his fourth strikeout of the game, but that sounds mean. But man, facts.
You and your son both go home. He's not that good. Anyway, kids, you play baseball, and if your umpire sucks, then sometimes you got to let your mom get tossed out of the game. So that's the way it happens. Just try not to get struck out four times, and then like you'll be okay.
Exactly.
So we have covered quite some ground in this conversation on this episode here, and I'm enjoying it. And we've got playoff basketball coming up. I know that we've discussed, you know, like the Bucks and the Nets and how that's going to be a really fun 7-game series with all those phenomenal players. Is there another different matchup somewhere? And, you know, it could be East, could be West, you know, that, or a team that you're looking to be interested in and see where they drop or like are cemented in their seeding?
So I have to qualify this with, I'm absolutely a homer. I am a diehard Nets fan through and through. From when I was young to when they were in New Jersey, the Jason Kidd years, I worked for them for a bunch. Like, that is my squad. So having them be good is a lot of fun. And then the other teams I'm looking at, like, as a Nets fan, like, always, I'm curious to see where the Knicks wind up and if we wind up having to play them, because I would love to knock them out of the playoffs.
They are currently the 4 seed in the East, which I was looking at earlier and mentioned on earlier the earlier show that, you know, I thought that was kind of curious, interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, like being out here in the Northeast, like in the New York City area, they just dominate the headlines. I remember like when before they played the Raptors a couple weeks ago, it was just like ESPN was like drooling over them with Stephen A. Smith, and I'm just like, oh god, I can't take this. But Julius Randle is playing lights out.
Yeah, they and RJ Barrett stepping up lately. Derrick Rose had a little bit of a revival, which good on him. I like Derrick Rose, and it's good to see him having a little bit of late career success.
Yeah, I will say it's almost odd to have the Knicks have likable players. Like, I feel like I'm so used to them having guys like I just absolutely can't stand. But like you mentioned, like a lot of feel good. Like the Derrick Rose thing, like him coming back. I think even like Julius, like the Julius Randle thing is awesome too. Just like what he's kind of become and developed. Like Nerlens Noel, like, so I'll give them that. But like Knicks Atlanta would be fun in the first round.
Oh yeah. I was actually going to bring the Hawks up. You know, they were a team I was looking forward to seeing where they go in the East there. And then, you know, the Heat are towards the bottom. They might have to play in the play-in game. I honestly would not be shocked if they miss the playoffs, to be quite frank. So,
tell me more about that. I'm interested. Are you saying miss the playoffs completely or, like, yeah, miss the play, like, losing the play-in?
Probably. I would say losing the play-in.
Okay.
I feel like they're gassed. I feel like they're gassed. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But the Lakers getting LeBron back is huge. I do have a lot of belief in Spoelstra as a coach. He's one of my favorite coaches in the league. So, and he's proved me wrong before. I mean, like last year, everyone. So, who knows? Playoff basketball is exciting.
So I have questions for you. Do you feel like, because the thing I've like kind of been aware of, like the way the media shapes narratives and like how that's playing out this year. Like if you think about last year, like all the talk on like Giannis and the Clippers, and now like this year, like the talk is just elsewhere. But then like if you step back, it's like Giannis is having a year like probably similar to both his MVP years, and we might get Clippers Lakers in like the first round, and I feel like it's not that big of a deal, whereas like last year this would have been crazy to be like Lakers Clippers first round series. Right
Yeah, I Adam Silver's got, like I said, we're in this post COVID period, so it's like a weird reshaping of the NBA, and playoff basketball's in that because of the different implications, and like we were talking about the play-in game and whatnot. I think the narrative spinning and focus on these teams, I think it's gotten a lot more balanced and more evenly spread out. A lot of people, you know, in coverage and such for the Lakers panned off a little and dove off, you know, with Anthony Davis out. And then we got, and that's a great call and great point on you for Anthony, or I'm sorry, Giannis's season, because I've been, this is honestly the season I've been most impressed by him, I would say, for my personal eyes and just opinion. I think he would deserve the MVP. James Harden, Anthony Davis, they missed too much time. LeBron missed way too much time. I'm not sure who else you really put up there. Doncic, I mean, the Mavs have underperformed. So I think the MVP narrative usually swings, I would say, like what team gets heavily talked about as well. So with that, I would say we're looking at, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if the narrative peaks here soon on your Nets and everyone is on them and ready for that for the postseason.
I don't know. I also wonder, like, what if, say, the Bucks finishes the one seed? Like, say they go on a run now, they take the one seed. Is Giannis, like, taking it home? Who do you think's the MVP? Who'd you pick on Tally site? That's what I should go look up.
Oh, to be honest, I don't know if I've made mine.
Did you make anything preseason I could hold you to?
No, I can't say I got anything on record, to be honest. I might have said something on a couple of shows or just, I know we looked at some odds and whatnot.
We have to go pull the tape.
Yeah. I need to get someone on that. Yeah. I was just looking at, we just hit our 250th episode. I think this is like 252, 253 or something like that. So, starting to get up there on the tape.
Yeah, that is no small feat. That should, that like consistency and being at it every day is not something to scuff at. So that's awesome.
To be honest with you, I probably wouldn't have went Giannis because I didn't have a lot of belief in him to do it again. And I thought the Bucks were going to struggle a little more than what they had been. And the fact that James Harden, I just thought that the league was ready to give him an MVP. It just kind of seemed like that kind of year if he did what he needed to, but obviously he didn't with his health. So Anthony Davis, I was concerned with the longevity and him being able to do what he I would throw Jokic in there, but the Nuggets have also underperformed. So that's why I kind of forgot about him. I knew he had some real good value to begin the year before the season. I think he was like really high up there in some value that I would have been okay with taking, but they can't stay healthy in Denver right now either.
Yeah, Jamal Murray really hurt my fantasy team. I feel bad for him as well, but
yeah. He was starting to get hot too. He was like starting to.
Yeah, because he started slow, and I remember being like, man, I picked this guy way too early. And then he came on. I was like, oh, now I remember why I picked him, like, after what he did in the bubble.
That bubble run was absolutely ridiculous. Him and TJ Warren, you know, that bubble performance of TJ Warren was – and, of course, Devin Booker. The bubble was fun. The bubble was fun.
So I've got – okay, I've got the sports media picks from Tally's site up for their preseason predictions.
On
the five major award categories. Let's see, Devin. No, I don't think we have picks from you.
Okay.
But if you had to get – it's funny seeing these now because, like obviously, like, this is something we're going to try to track where it's like people are going to now make their picks again at the end of the season and seeing the difference. Like, and it's just funny seeing, like, these consensus picks from before the season. Like, do you know who 26% of people, which was actually a majority at that point amongst the sports media, had for their sixth man of the year?
Sixth man of the year. I'm going to say, Montrezl Harrell?
Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, are you serious? No way. Yeah. That's a large amount of people. I actually thought he was being way more slept on. Sharp mind.
Most improved player, 21% leading all players. Or he was tied, actually.
Pascal Siakam was a popular, trendy one. I remember him getting a lot of buzz. But honestly, okay, so here's a narrative that was interesting. If Giannis was going to win the MVP, he was going to have to improve from last year and then be an improved player. So if he was able to be a most improved player, I knew that he was getting some love also.
That's interesting. I had not thought of that. But they had, this media had SGA and Michael Porter Jr.
Okay.
tied for their preseason most improved. Defensive player of the year with 51% of the consensus pick.
AD?
Yep, AD.
Yeah. That would make
Rookie sense. Of the year, I feel like that's an easy one. 47% came in pick LaMelo. MVP.
What did Halliburton get?
Let's see. Oh, that's a good one. Halliburton was taking 8% of the vote.
Are you serious? What?
Yeah. Wiseman was at 19%. Obi was at 13%, which looking back at that, like,
he hasn't even really played.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking like some, like, if you think about Obi, like, Ben Golliver, Sports Illustrated, Michael Shapiro, Sports Illustrated, Bobby Marks from ESPN were all rolling with him for Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah, that is surprising. And then MVP, 37% of sports media.
Let's see. James Harden.
Luka.
What?
Yeah, because Harden was still in Houston, so I feel like everybody was just like, where is he going to go? Yeah. What's going to happen?
You know, and here's – all right, so I don't talk about it much, but when I was growing up and before I was doing this whole sports betting thing and all that good stuff and talking about sports so much, I grew up a Mavericks fan, you know, Don Nelson era. So – I had low expectations for the Mavericks, which is why I could absolutely just not buy or see Luka doing what he needed to do and getting the Mavericks in a position for him. They needed to be a 2 or 3 seed, and I just did not see that to be possible. But that's honestly just my opinion. So, yeah, that is wild. That is a large number on Luka. Who was number 2 on the MVP list there preseason, Mike?
Wow, this is kind of shocking. Damian Lillard was taking 12% of the vote.
Really weird. I guess people thought Portland was going to finally be healthy.
A lot of experts rolling. Like Embiid's up there, 9%.
Yeah.
Giannis, 8%. Anthony Davis, 11%. Only 3% taking Jokic. NBC Sports, Kurt Halen. It's like, it's funny, like going back and reading some of these, like, these insights too. It's just like, after you have a, like, in retrospect, being able to go back, it's just fun. Like,
I agree. I'd notice myself doing that on Tally site also, but it's also for you, I'm sure it's got a neat little thing, as kind of a part of this partnership ownership aspect of it. You know, it's like a growth throughout the whole year. You know, you get to see where people's thoughts and opinions and what they think is going to happen for the year actually goes and where it actually ends up.
So. Yeah. I mean, from my personal perspective, like the day-to-day and the games are obviously fun. Like an NFL Sunday, seeing who all the experts are taking and how that stacks up week over week. And if Mina Kimes is actually outperforming another analyst.
I love Mina. She's awesome. There's some really great folks that you guys have been able to get on board.
You were wrong. You were right. Or this is what you were way off on. Versus like just hearing people just kind of like really change their opinion the day before an award's announced. We're like, nah, this is what you said back in like December. This is what you were saying in October. So yeah. I love it. And it's not like a got you moment, but it's like, hey, like think about this.
Right. Right. And it's a good accountability because even right there, when you asked me about my picks, I wasn't even sure. I was like, I don't know. And obviously I let some current measures of what's going on within the NBA and where these players are at that we were talking about, you know, obviously swayed what I might have thought. So that accountability factor and that tracking is what I also enjoy about Tally Site and getting to be able to use that.
Exactly. It should be fun though. We always want to make it fun.
Like I think my Heisman Trophy winner for last year, I think I had Spencer Radley, which was just terrible. I don't know why. I think
it's only terrible until he wins the Heisman.
I honestly can't remember. I was high on both of them. But hey, Sam Howell this year for Heisman. And Spencer Radler, they're both back.
Lock it in.
Right here. You heard it first. Hey, I might take Coastal Carolina's quarterback.
I feel like you were big on Coastal all last season. Like,
dude, hey, all right, you got it up in front of you. And again, here's a vanity moment. Sorry, guys.
Oh, this is why this is ringing a bell. I 100% know where you're going with this.
You should pull up those Coastal Carolina rankings.
Let's see. Let's go to Tally Site rankings.
I just enjoyed them, and I can't wait for college football. Riley and I, another guy on the show, we were talking about football. Just in general today too. So I'm glad that we're getting some football talk. Coastal Carolina treated me well last year.
Fun with it. So you're number one, right? And then if you look at, if you would have made a $10 bet on every pick you made on a Coastal Carolina game, you would have made $221.
That's all right. It's like not a big number.
That's not bad, man. That's 73% ROI on your bets, on $10 bets.
On the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
Yeah. I think, like, you found your calling. Like, was there something you knew about them that nobody else knew? Like,
well, so I tracked their jump to the FBS level because they were an FCS team.
Yep.
And I was familiar with the school itself as an institution because of their baseball team. Their baseball had been Division I for a while. And, you know, they went up against, you know, some powerhouses in TCU and Oregon State and some super regionals a few years back.
Hoop ballers. Let's talk about your balls. Yep, your balls and the area around them. Let's talk about manscaped.com. Go there and use promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20. Use the promo code and go check out all the tools they have of trimming the hedges and taking care of your lawn, like the Lawnmower 3.0 with a built-in LED light to help you get into those dark thigh crevices on the inner parts. Also, the Gooch. It is hard to get to the Gooch if you can't see it. So use the LED light with the anti-tugless technology on the razor. Full long battery life. Then check out the Weed Whacker. Bring that out of the shed. Use it on your shrubs. Cut down what you need, down to bare minimum if you need to. It's got a nice anti-tugless technology just like the Lawnmower 3.0. It's also got a lithium battery. And best news of all, these things are waterproof. So that way you can do it in the shower and take care of business in the cleanest way possible. Hoopball 20 is the promo code that's going to get you free shipping as well as 20% off. I recommend using it. I recommend getting the complete care kit with your free shipping and your 20% off. Spend a little extra, get a lot more. There's a good care kit there for us gentlemen, face scrub, shampoo, ball treatment, and the area that surrounds our balls. I believe there's even a pair of underwear in there for our balls. So yeah, that's going to conclude the talk about our balls. Now let's talk about bets. MyBookie.ag is where all the hoop ballers take care of their winnings and where we place all of our wagers that we post in our article in the Wager Pass, as well as our free plays and our Discord chats. Yes, MyBookie.ag. Use promo code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL. Let them know that we sent you. Hell, specifically type in my name. I want them to know. But most importantly, you got to let them know what podcast that is. And it is Today in Sports Betting. You let them know that we sent you. And then we, as a family, get to grow. And then we get to set you up to reap more benefits. And that is what's important to us, because we are here to help you win money. And that is why we recommend MyBookie. Their slogan is bet, win, get paid. And it's quite simply that easy. Use Bitcoin to get going. It's a high recommendation of VM Center at Vince Miracle, our guy. It's a recommendation of me. It's so easy. Dan Bespris, the podfather, Aaron Bruski, the godfather, they get in there, they get going with Bitcoin, they get their money in and out, and it's easy peasy. Hoopball's the promo code. Use that. Let them know that we sent you. MyBookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Now, as a podcast, we have your balls and your bets covered. And without further ado, we have Today in Sports Betting.
So I was just kind of familiar with the school, and I always thought that the freaking Blue Hen Chanticleer thing was cool. And I think you're right. You know, I found my calling. Like, I'm just going to be a professional Chanticleer sports picker.
I can't wait to see you on ESPN. And they're like, let's bring in our Coastal Carolina expert here.
Hey. Speaking it into existence, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I feel like
I'll take it and run with it.
I feel like you have to send this to like their media team and be like, hey, can I hop on a broadcast when we talk Coastal here? Like, I think I got the insights. But this is fun. Like, this is the stuff I like uncovering. Like, I don't know if this is fun stuff for you, but like, we were working with one of the analysts, and she was trying to like uncover some of the things she's good at. And we were gonna be like, hey, your best team is the Cleveland Browns. They're actually 14-2 in their games this year. So stuff like that is always fun. Those little nuggets.
14-2. Yeah, I was, man, that is a crazy high. What, that's like 89%, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And I think it was money. No, I think it was spreads. It was spreads. Yeah. And
which that's so hard in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
That is impressive.
Yeah. If you don't follow her, it's Ashley Haas. And like, she's like, I don't, she does both things. She's a model and she picks like
NFL
games, but like she's pretty money at NFL. It's actually impressive.
I remember that name. I think I've seen her around in gambling Twitter community. One thing that I love about the new additions to TallySite is just having that access to what you've done with specific teams. I didn't realize that I was really successful in picking games that the Twins, you know, I was really good at picking Twins games. I had no idea. And then Oakland, you know, so that just those fun, actually, hey, I got it right in front of me right here.
Yeah. And that's like, that's what like the premise, 69%. Like uncovering those nuggets for you. Cause then it's like, okay, like now, you know, like you can share that out. So now, like when you make an A's pick, it's like, hey, maybe people are going to pay more attention to that. Cause it's like, hey, look at my credibility when it comes to like picking A's games. So just as much as we want to uncover those nuggets for like a fan who's looking to see like, hey, like, should I bet on the A's game? What are people saying? It's also unlocking that for you. So then it's like, you have maybe next week, your whole show, you could just talk about the teams you're really good at. You have over 50% on, and then people would be like, yeah.
Yeah, and seeing, I think we might have cut out a little bit there, Mike, but seeing the percentages of people and the way that they make the picks is, like I said, it's a drawn interest of mine. Something I like to keep tabs on. There's some very specific folks I've found through being a part of the Tally site, you know, picks and analysts and all that stuff, that I've just stumbled across so many good pieces of information.
No, that's awesome. Like the community piece and then like the valuable nuggets. Like we're trying our best to just like, I know like the engineering team, like how do we unlock more power for the users, for analysts, to just kind of like open up as many possibilities as possible.
Right. And it's a great platform. I mean, just, I can't speak high enough on the volume, like just the base that of which you guys have created. And, it's a really unique experience, and I'm just really happy we were able to get the Hoopball guys signed up on it. So it's fun to have a team in there, team effort.
Yeah, and I mean, the best thing about having a team in there, you can stack yourselves up against each other and say, hey, I'm actually NBA expert of Hoopball, or you could go to your host of the Pelicans show and be like, hey, I actually know the Pelicans better than you, man.
Shout out Lyle. And then the I wanted to shout out Riley too, Mr. Sorbo. We call it, or I call it, and it just started today because he hopped on a podcast, made his Hoopball debut. But yeah, I'm calling him Sorbet. You know, I said, you know, his debut was smooth and sweet. So Riley Sorbo, I noticed as I was looking through some rankings, he's number two in a couple of different MLB measures at the moment. So shout out to our Riley over there in the top five. And some MLB picks.
Shout out Riley.
Riley in the house. Anyways, and you know what's cool? Riley, we were talking about this on the show today. Riley actually started out, like, he just was a listener of Hoopball content. He was a listener today in sports betting, you know, for the last year or so. And now he's on the team. So
I feel like you could have a shameless plug here. I feel like Dan's been posting about getting more analysts and people who are interested in like daily fantasy or the fantasy aspect. Like, are you guys looking actively?
Hey, wink wink, nudge nudge. At DALE Hoopball Gaming. Seriously, insight in gaining exposure on different, you know, thoughts and the process and whatnot, that's always exciting. So if someone has something to say and they're skilled at it, right? They don't necessarily have to be skilled. That makes me sound like I'm setting a high bar or something. But like, if we can have a tangible conversation about a point, then yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Like, the barrier entry into this space is so much lower, like, than it used to be. Yeah. And there's so many like cool content creators out there and doing their thing like in different ways. The Substacks, the Patreons, the podcasts, the like article, long form, whatever it may be. It's just like it's easier to get yourself out there nowadays, which is just awesome.
Yeah. For me, I want to enjoy my content, and I want to have whoever's indulging in it enjoy it as well. And, you know, I don't know if that's how I'm doing it. Like, I just know that, you know, this is fun and I enjoy it. I've enjoyed the growth that HoopBall's had. I didn't expect it. You know, just like Riley, I responded to Dan, you know, in one of his recruitment things. You know, it was like such a weird unraveling. So, didn't plan it, but I've always had a passion in the sports sector. Like we were talking about in the green room, was that we, you know, both had some interest in like broadcast stuff and like AM waves and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I thought for sure I was going to be calling like NBA Finals games by the age of like 40. Like I remember, and then like at Fordham, I was kind of like, actually, I don't know if this is the thing for me anymore. Like I was like covering like the men's basketball team or whatever. But yeah, I had those dreams.
Yeah, it's the good thing about dreams. They can change. They change every night.
Exactly. Sometimes you don't even remember them. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's people like me. Like I swear, like I don't dream. Like I don't know what goes on when I sleep. But you know, I wake up in the morning, and you know that's what happens. Like I don't. There's people that tell me like they lived like another life in their dreams, and I'm like, you know. Like they had meals and like they planned their meals and they cooked and like went and walked their dogs and like this. And I'm like, okay, I didn't do any of that.
I mostly just rested.
Right. Right. I'm just trying to like, I stress enough whenever I'm awake. I don't want like to make decisions in my dream and shit. Like screw that.
This is where I go to get away from that.
Right. Right. That's and you know what I noticed when I was in the bartending world and like, you know, service industry and stuff, like the tales that people talk about, like they wake up like panicked and they were like, oh shit, I forgot your ranch or whatever, but it's like not actually happening. Like it's true. Like you, cause you're rushing around all day, your legs are going. And I'm sure any job, like if you're busy within the workspace, your brain works like that and it's firing. So you're going to get those panic sleep, you know, job tremors. For the most part, I don't dream, so.
Yeah, I feel like I can't remember a dream I've had in a while either, so maybe I'm more in your boat now, too.
Yeah, it's got to be, like, a just really unfortunate thing, or just, like, a very just memorable, like, dream for me to even remember it for the first 5 minutes of my day. But, man, we have covered some ground, Mike. I was excited for this show. I'm excited for the next one already. I kind of just want to, you know, like have you on every other day, because I love the partnership between Tally Site and between HoopBall, and I like the direction that both of our entities are going. And you know, here is where I kind of just, you know, we talked about more specifically you and your stuff at the beginning of the show, but wanted to dig into a little more of like maybe like what is to come, what's going on like for you. And you know, I think I did a really bad job about giving folks your Twitter handle at the beginning of the show too. So if you want to go ahead and include that here,
I have to look that up. I'm like, what is my Twitter handle? Well, like,
my thing is I say stuff funny and I get self-conscious about it. So I know I'm totally going to mispronounce, even though I like know your name and your full name, but it's like, okay, it's M. Valditara.
That's not bad. That's not bad. If you get a little bit out of the aura and you go like Ara, like with my New Jersey accent, we'll say it differently.
Yeah. It's bad. You should hear me try to say some other stuff.
Look, I didn't even know I had an, like, I don't know. Like, I guess I do now know I have an accent, but I really didn't know I had an accent until I was probably like 19 years old and like exposed to more of the world, like in the country.
Yeah. Mine is just the Midwest and this, especially Oklahoma. There's a certain like drawl. Like it's like a weird, it's not nasally, you know, that's, I mean it in an offensive way. I hope it doesn't go, sorry, East Coasters, but I'm just a naive Midwesterner. And you know, my mom is from Philly, and she talked real nasally, and it was something that stuck out to me when I traveled for work, and people said that I had an accent, and I think it's funny how we're in the same country, but you know, depending on where you go, you have no idea what the other person's saying.
Yeah, and if it may, like this is like, so I'm Italian, but the last name doesn't give it away. So like if you take the dialects in Italy and like how different, like, you know, here we talk about accents, like we're talking about different languages when you go like from certain towns to different like provinces. So it's like the accents are easy. Like imagine like having to learn in a completely different type of language if you like were going south. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I believe I am of Italian heritage also, according to what my mother, I've never met anyone on that side, but apparently they grew up in the South Philly, you know, area, the neighbor boroughs, neighborhoods, whatever. There's that, you know, geographical barrier there. We call them neighborhoods. They're boroughs over where you guys are at. But yeah, so other than tally side, I know, I mean, this is your brainchild right now. This is where all your focus and stuff's going. What more do you want to say about tally site or familiarization that you can give, you know, to the folks listening?
Yeah. So, I mean, instead of my Twitter handle, I could give tally sites. So that's easy, but you there can follow us. You can follow us at tally site. You could follow our page, like our Twitter. We're always posting like unique insights for different games, different events, who the experts are taking, who the, say, the leaderboards for who's hot streaks, et cetera, amongst, like, sports media and analysts. And then we're excited to just keep building the platform and expanding the community. We want to start dipping into new sports. Like, we have a lot of the major sports up. But, like, Devin, you probably saw it. Like, getting golf out there was important for us. We want to get soccer, MMA, NASCAR, tennis, like, all these sports on the platform so that more people could weigh in on it, see what the experts are taking. And then prop bets, that's going to be another thing. More and more people are asking for us to be like, hey, can we share prop bets with our fans? So we want to be able to give analysts and creators the opportunity to easily do that. So prop bets will be huge for us as well, but that's where the focus is, just more sports and more bets so that you guys can take advantage of that and share that out in whatever way you guys see fit to engage an audience. But yeah, more sports is huge. Did you know, like, table tennis was the most bet on sport in Colorado 1 month recently?
Well, I mean, all right. So I can tell you about some Czechoslovakian, Brazilian, and Russian table tennis because that's what I was betting on along with KBO when the COVID shutdown first happened.
So if you know your stuff in Czechoslovak or Slovakian, I guess because Czech and Slovakia are separated now.
Slovakian.
Like, if you know your stuff on that and you have a view and you have an analysis on an upcoming game, tournament, event, like, we want to still be able to give you the tools to be like, hey, Devin, like, here's how you could share this to your Instagram audience. Here's how you could kind of track your pick for that. Here's how you could share this out. So that's what we're focused on. We just want to almost make it less about tally site and more empowering the creators, the analysts that you use.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.